jobsinkent.com. RIFT Research and Development. Tax rewards for innovative small businesses. RIFTResearch.com.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 3rd of May with me, Paul Andrews, and the ravishingly gorgeous Amanda Flanders. And we've now got what allegedly could be a naked Siobhan on the phone. Hello, Siobhan.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you, Paul.
I noticed you just did tweet a selfie of you fully dressed just to prove it, but I'm not believing that necessarily.
Well, I was getting so much pressure about what I was wearing, so I thought, okay, quickly take a photo and put it on Twitter as quickly as possible.
And you look glorious in yellow,
Siobhan. Thank you. Yeah, well, yellow is meant to help you with your communication and creativity, so I thought that would help me with my interview today.
Fantastic. So, Siobhan, your organisation, your company is called Well Styled, and your Twitter handle is Well Styled UK.
Yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about Siobhan and a little bit about Well Styled.
Well, I call myself a reformed shopaholic, personal stylist.
When you say reformed, does that mean you don't shop anymore?
I do for other people, but I really try not to shop for myself, which is you know, it's hard work. It's it's definitely something I struggle with. But it's because I'm really passionate about sustainability. So Well Styled, the philosophy behind the brand is about, you know, working, and I work mostly with women from size 6 to 20, and it's really working with them to help them build a fully functional capsule wardrobe with quality pieces that last. So it's, you know, helping them to dress more sustainably and more stylishly.
Okay. I know about these things because I'm a fashion icon myself, obviously.
Yes.
But tell the listener what a capsule wardrobe is.
Well, a capsule wardrobe is a fully functional wardrobe. So rather than opening your wardrobe and finding you've got so many pieces and you've got nothing to wear, everything has got some meaning in it. It's usually a tight number of items, maybe 35 or less, depending on the person's lifestyle and their budget. But so, for example, if I'm working with a client and we identify that statement trousers look great on them, they don't need to have duplicates of this. They can wear one or two statement trousers in many different ways, 30 times or more if they get a quality item. So that's creating a smaller wardrobe than your usual overflowing wardrobe with highly disposable pieces.
So me having 65 blue shirts, I think somebody worked out once, is a bit over the top then.
That would probably be something we'd have to really work on.
Yeah, absolutely.
People get so much stuff, and then it actually can be quite stressful to try and work out what am I going to wear today.
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah, do you have that?
I do. Seriously, I do. Every morning, I mean, this morning, I couldn't decide what on earth to wear.
Have you really got 65? Please don't.
Yeah, no, sadly I have. They're all blue shirts. I've got other shirts. Other colours are available, but I have to tell you, many years ago, I did employ an image consultant to come and help me.
Oh, okay.
And her biggest thing was, Paul, you have 65 blue shirts. Will you please stop buying blue shirts?
Oh, no.
And do you know what? About 2 weeks later, I went shopping to get something, and I'm walking back to the car, and I suddenly thought, do you know, I've just bought another blue shirt.
No.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe, like, if you introduce some colour like pink even, that might work.
Oh, no, I've got pink shirts. I've got all kinds of other colours.
But you've got blue eyes.
I just got... No, I don't. No.
You
blue eyes. No. I just have this penchant for buying blue shirts.
You know,
I have no idea why.
My husband has a thing about blue shirts as well. But, I've tried to squeeze in some pink and introduce other colours.
Mm.
So, just to, you know, so that you don't always sort of look like you're sort of stuck in a rut.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I totally get that. And I do have clothes of multiple colours and multiple
and
other colours.
And you don't feel like you want to reach out to those items.
No, so I wear them all the time. I don't wear 65 blue shirts.
No.
I just have them hanging in my dressing room.
And, you know, this is the thing. I mean, I find people do have so much duplicates and they really struggle to sort of stop that churn of clothing and, you know, I think how you can do that is just, and I'm sure you do already, but it's sort of spending a little bit more on one or two pieces so you know that you've really maxed out your budget and you've bought something that costs a lot more money and you're not going to go and get a duplicate. You really want to wear it. Like, cost per wear is really important.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean? So that's something else that I sort of help with my clients.
Right,
so
okay.
I can work with some with £400 and get them a budget, a quality wardrobe, or some with £4,000, for example, and get them a quality wardrobe. But it's just about wearing it and wearing it in different ways and adding some accessories, you know. So
okay. Can I ask you a question? I get entirely what you say. I don't have any problem with that. I'd like to ask you a question, though, because sometimes you see this, you know. You talk about quality of clothes, and sometimes that can be expensive. Now, for instance, I'm a bit of a girly when it comes to shoes, and I also have quite a large collection of shoes, but I do tend to spend, on the whole, quite a lot of money on my shoes, and I buy, you know, things like Church or Local, you know, really good quality shoes that cost an awful lot of money but last forever. I've got a pair of Church shoes, for instance, that once every 5 or 6 years I send back to Church and they refurbish them.
Oh wow, brilliant.
Yeah. So, you know, the overall cost of ownership, as you implied, is actually better. But the question I kind of wanted to ask you is that quality isn't necessarily implied by cost.
No, it's not. I mean, you don't have to spend a lot of money to get quality, and it, you know, it's in the fabric. You know, you can get pieces, for example, organic cotton, and it has a much longer lifespan than a lot of more disposable, maybe higher brand designs.
Right.
But quality can be from the fibers of the material. It can be the classic looks, the timeless pieces. You know, so, but there's also a lot of brands out there that churn clothing that you will buy a jumper and within 6 months and you haven't even washed it, it's pilling, it just looks awful. And so it's about, you know, having an eye and an understanding about the quality, and it can be really hard to find.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't want to sound girly about this, but
you know, it's all right.
It's one of those things. Recently, I've lost quite a lot of weight. But I know what I'm like, so I don't ever throw clothes away. I've got one of each size in my wardrobe.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I know. But the funny thing is, I recently lost quite a bit of weight, and I went back to my wardrobe, and I had jeans from, you know, that would now fit me and things like that. But when I got them out of the wardrobe, of course, the fashion's moved on since I was last this size, and I'm going, well, I can't wear those anyway, even though they now fit.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm going to show my age here, but fashion definitely goes in a cycle of about 7 years. So I've kind of got a strategy with my own wardrobe. You know, I buy quality things and I know that I'm going to wear it out for this season and I know it's going to come back. Give it 7 years. So I've got in my loft about 3 or 4 pairs of really spiky stiletto style boots, and I know in a couple of years' time those really sort of sharp toe boots are going to come in again. And it's the same, you know, with flares coming back in fashion.
I was just going to say, does that mean my loom pants and cheesecloth shirts going to come back in?
Your bomber jacket.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just, and they bring it back in with a slight change in it, but there's nothing like the authentic, original designs. So hang on to it if you've got some storage space, which can be a problem.
Yeah. Cool. So, in your business, in World Style, do you primarily focus on women? Do you focus on men, or do you do both? How does it work?
So World Style is my second business. Mm-hmm. I've been styling for 10 years. My last one was in Australia with Cheek in the City, and there I worked with men and women. But my passion was really working with women. It was just sort of...
Me too.
Yeah. You know, when I worked with men, I got a bit frustrated. They just sort of have something they liked that they just didn't want to change. So, you know, for example, yourself with your blue shirts and your experience as an image consultant, whereas women they definitely engaged a stylist because it was something that they felt that they needed some help in and they wanted to change.
Yeah, it's funny. I totally get what you're saying because I kind of went through this when I looked at it. I mean, I had somebody come in and advise me, and they said, you know, you need to get away from boring corporate colours like grey and black and blue.
Have you?
Yeah, and do, you know, and they gave me loads of colours, and they went, this is suit, this is da, 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 da. But when she'd gone, and you put it on, you think, nah, I look like a prune in this.
And that's what I found a lot of men tend to do. I mean, a lot of my clients have said to me, can you come back and do my husband? And I would say only if they really want it, because it can become quite frustrating.
Sure.
You know, it's probably not as important for some men, the fashion. But for women, it can be all changing. It can change their confidence. You know, it's a domino effect. They look good, they feel good, and, you know, personal stylists give them the confidence to wear something that they've never thought or dreamt of, they never thought would suit them. And that's sort of what I love about my job, you know, sort of getting women out of that rut.
Absolutely, and it is important. You know, we were talking to Diane Deb earlier about the work they do in terms of rebuilding confidence in people that have, you know, lost their confidence, lost their self-esteem due to unemployment and or long-term unemployment and stuff like that. And, of course, again, one of the things about getting back into that is how you present yourself when you present yourself for an interview or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it takes seconds for someone to make an opinion on you, and that's one of the things as well is I do workshops for women in business, image and style workshops, and I also teach at Kent Adult Education about personal styling, and it's one of the things that's quite a big section in my my lectures is, you know, the first impression someone's going to get of you is going to make an impact, so make it a good one,
right.
And it's usually a visual one. It's like something that's, you know, whatever it is they think, it's not going to really change, and I know it might sound frivolous, but it is something that's important.
Absolutely. We could talk about this for a long time because it's something that I do find important, even though I do have 65 blue shirts. But for the moment, Siobhan, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us a bit about Well Styled. Can you just give us a shout out for your website, Twitter handle, etc., so how people can find out more about you and engage more with you and find out more about...
So my website is wellstyled1word.co.uk, and my Twitter handle is wellstyledUK. I'm also on Instagram, wellstyledstylist, and Facebook, wellstyledstylist.
Fantastic.
And I've started blogging more regularly, so to get more of my thoughts on styling there.
Fantastic. And we'll put all those links on the Kent Business Radio website so people can find out more about you. Siobhan, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Funk Show. Been an absolute pleasure to hear from you. We'd like to get you in the studio some point further in the future so we can explore this in more depth. But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Sam Paul.
Cheers, Siobhan.
Bye.
Bye. Siobhan from Well Styled there.
65 blue shirts.
I know. It is sad, isn't it?
Really? Honestly, you're not joking.
No, I'm not joking. No. No, you can ask Tracy. Tracy Randall came and had a look at my wardrobe, and she went, and she went, you got 65 blue shirts. Don't buy any more. Okay.
Are they all different shades?
Different. I mean, this is a blue shirt, and it's patterned.
That is a blue shirt.
I have stripes, I have squares, I have checks, I have stars, I have paisley blue shirt. They are all different types.
That's not quite so bad.
No. I do have 14 just plain blue striped shirts as well. But interestingly, for men, there isn't actually a huge range of colours available.
No.
You know, you get white, you get blue, grey and black shirts, you might have one of each and wear one a year. And then a pink is really the only other colour. And then it's just variations.
Purple, yellow, green, orange.
Look like a bruise. Purple and yellow.
All mixed together.
Yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, it was lovely to hear from Siobhan, and do check out Well Styled. I'm going to do a couple of quick tweets, and then we're going to talk to Amanda about her business. So we've had a couple of tweets. We've had Blue Badger Marketing said, enjoying listening to the Business Funk Show today. So that's Blue Badger LTD, Blue Badger Limited, on the Twitter. And UK Directory App has tweeted in. Gemma Fairhay, J-E-M-M-A, Fairhay, all one word, a vanilla web, butterflies, that's Amanda. I have just finished helping a client with the disciplinary. Please can you mention this event? And the event is Orchard Employment Law, an auto-enrolment event on June the 14th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the St. George Hotel, Chatham. You can find out more and book it all by following Gemma on the Twitter. Gemma Fairhay, J-E-M-M-A-F-A-I-R-H-A-Y. And RAP Interiors, RAP Office on the Twitter. Vanilla Web, we're looking for an organised intern who can deal with office admin and support marketing based in Maidstone. So that's RAP Office, all one word, on the Twitter, are looking for an office intern. So if you fancy that or know anybody that does, do check that out. But you know what? Okay, I've had an update from Fruitworks. They say, no, there are passes available. There's supporters' passes still available, which are paid for, which are 10 quid, and there's some other stuff. The easiest way is to go into the website, fruitworks.co/create, and look at all the various things that you can do. That's the easiest way of doing that, getting all confused. And Denise Wilton has tweeted in, and she says, oh, really enjoying the show. And by the way, the fruit on Get Fruitful looks too delicious. It does look good, doesn't it, Denise? You're absolutely right. Mm. Anyway, enough of all of that. I want to talk to the lovely Amanda now.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda. I want to talk to you about your business. So
which is
what you actually came down here for before I blagged you into becoming a radio presenter. And you're also already a video star. So that's good. So
Business video star.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I, after some of the shenanigans that went on earlier, I guess I've got to
keep it clear.
I've got to keep it clear what it is you actually do.
I've thrown you down.
I was going to tell you a story, and I thought, no, that's not fair to tell you that story about pole dancing. tell us a bit about Amanda and a bit about Butterflies and Dreams Events, which is your business.
It is, yes. Yeah, so. Oh, see, now I ran out of words to say. It's trying to be completely now.
Yeah, can't be bothered to talk anymore.
No, my voice is aching. Yeah. So I've been... I used to live in Greece for 8 years. I've just moved back. Well, I say...
Whereabouts in Greece?
The island of Kefalonia.
Kefalonia, I beg your pardon. Mm. Do you know, I've travelled all over the world and I've lived in various parts of the world. Do you know one place I've never been?
Kefalonia?
Greece.
Oh, Greece.
I've never been to Greece or any of the Greek islands. How's that happened? Anyway, enough. So how long were you in Greece?
I was in Greece for 8 years.
Blimey.
Yeah, I moved.
Can you speak Greek?
Yes.
Oh.
Not very well.
Me too. Moussaka. Dolomides.
The Obiras.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, so you were in...
Anyway, so while I was living over in Greece, I did a number of different things, but one of the main things I did was managing and running bars and restaurants.
Right.
Kefalonia is one of the tourist islands over there.
Yeah.
So obviously... We only work in the summer for the tourist season. So one of the important things to do is get the tourists in your bars and restaurants. Mm. So I was involved in organising lots of different events.
Oh, were you one of these people that walked around the street going,
no.
Oi, you, come to my bar? No. Oh,
okay. No, I wasn't. Not at all. I just worked with the bar owners just to give them ideas of...
You did proper marketing.
Not
street beating.
No.
Okay.
No, I taught the Greeks a few things. They're not great with business savvy Greeks. Shh, don't say I said that.
Nobody's listening, it's all right. Nobody knows.
So I got involved in doing parties and events, and also in the winter everything shuts down, but obviously there's quite a huge English community over there of expats who have nowhere to go or anything to do in the winter.
Right.
So then I started doing...
Does events. Everything actually close? Do all the restaurants and bars just close and you can't eat anything for 3 months?
Well, the capital of the island stays open, but everything else, all the resorts close down. So it's pretty quiet over there.
Yeah. And how kind of big... I know we're not here to talk about Greece, but I'm just fascinated by this. How big is the island, roughly?
So the island is the biggest of the three Ionian islands. It's set in between Zakynthos and Corfu.
Right.
It's
easy for her to say, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyways, the population at one point was 34,000.
Okay.
It's about an hour and a half to drive from one end of the island to the
other. So that's about the same size as Sittingbourne, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It's not big. It's good. But in the tourist season, it gets a lot busier. But that sort of gave me the taste for doing events and parties, you know, creating something that people want to do and get involved with. So when I moved back to the UK, after I got myself settled, I decided to start my own events business. And now I work with businesses doing business events,
right,
all different ranges of business events to help them promote their businesses. And I also do parties and party planning, so big top-end parties, petite, chic and unique, something to celebrate your special occasion with. So it's sort of all variety of different things that people want help with when it comes to planning.
Right.
So with the business events... these days, business events are becoming more and more important.
Mm-hmm.
As marketing is changing, people want to know who they're buying from. You know, it's all about knowing the person, getting people buy from people that they like. So having a business event sort of provides people with meeting you, so you put yourself in front of people and they get to know you, and they're more likely to buy from you or buy your services.
Absolutely.
So I work with businesses that want to do an event, but it's got to be a good event. There's no point in having an event which either nobody turns up to, or if they do turn up to, it's dull, it's boring, and, you know, it doesn't get any results.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right in that it is a phenomena that's happening now, that there are so many events. I mean, I spend my life going to events, and I don't go to a fraction of the events that are available. And I'm terrible. I'm a tart with events. I'd go to the opening of an envelope, me. But, you know, it is part of the changing nature of the world of work,
yeah,
where networking, relationship building, collaboration, you know, and all the kind of things that we talk about quite a lot are bringing it together. And therefore, staging events that are different, or, you know, that fit somewhere in a calendar so that people don't think, you know, that's the same as the one I went to yesterday and the day before, is really important. So, I mean, I came to an event that you organised, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago. Yeah,
Evo Girls. What a cracker that was.
That was a very good event.
It was a cracker, that was, listener.
Time.
At the Corpus Christi Hall in Maidstone. Yep. What a cracker that was. Just me and the 200 ladies. Brilliant.
There was one or two other men there.
Oh, we ignored them. We completely ignored them. They shouldn't have been there. I was mortified that they were there. Sunil was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, Sunil was there. A couple of others.
Yeah. But no, it was a good event. It was a fantastic event. And Isabel Pazram was the other speaker there.
Yep.
A very interesting lady, a barrister, I believe.
She's barrister.
Yeah. A great event that you organised, and you're organising all that fruit to be consumed on Friday as well.
Yeah, so I'm working with Anne with her pre-book launch on Friday, and I'm also working with Gemma. We just did a shout-out for Gemma. I'm working with her for her...
That's Gemma Fairhay.
Gemma Fairhay,
yeah.
Her employment law and auto-enrollment event coming up in June. So I get to work with a variety of different business owners and just sort of help them do the event, really, because a lot of people... It's one of those things when you're running a business, oh, well, it's an event, I can just run it myself. But a lot of the time, it's like with anything else, you have to outsource.
Mm.
How valuable is your time? How long is it going to
exactly.
take you to do an event? And it's amazing... If you're looking at all the fine details of running an event, what's involved? Because it's not just putting on the event, advertising the event. It's the running of the event. It's the advertising of the event. It's everything that's involved with the event on the day, making sure people are in the right places at the right time.
It's handling the shenanigans, isn't it?
It's a lot involved,
It's handling the shenanigans, because we could all go, do you know what, I'll book a venue and I'll do this and I'll do that. But life never pans out like that. There's always issues, isn't there? And there's always, you know, do you want a cherry on that, or do you want a banana, or whatever. Do you know what I mean? And it's that becomes time consuming and takes up all your time, is handling the issues and handling things as they come up.
Definitely.
You know, because you book a venue, and then the venue will ring and go, oh, we didn't realise you wanted to start at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, the staff don't get there till 9. So it is just handling stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So all the finer details. I mean, probably to do a full day event, which would run, like, say, from 9 till 5, you're talking for that day about a 10-hour day, but then there's about 10 to 15 hours prep work that goes before that as well, especially if you've got speakers and you've got to communicate with the speakers, organising the food, obviously first-hand sorting out the venue, finding a good venue. So there's
chairs.
Well, even, you know what, even the layout of the room has a
Absolutely.
Big effect on how the event runs and looks. And
Absolutely.
Yeah. So to have somebody like myself who helps set it all up, and you just take... The main reason I love doing this is because it takes stress away from people.
Yeah.
They've got to think, they just pass it over to me, say, well, this is, tell me exactly what they want, and I make it happen.
They go, Amanda, make it so.
Exactly.
make me famous. Yeah. No, absolutely, and quite right too. And what a fabulous job you do on that. Clearly you enjoy it. You're very passionate
very
about
so.
What you do. And you do loads of interesting stuff. As I said, you're a business video star these days. But one of the things I like is that how long have you been in business? Because you're fairly new.
Yes, 10 months. I started on 1st of July last year.
Fantastic. So coming up to your first... I know someone that could organise an event for you to celebrate your birthday.
I know. Well, actually, it was my 40th birthday in March, just passed. Yes, I know. I can't believe it. I am actually 40.
Blimey.
I know. And, of course, I had to have an amazing party, and I did. I had a masquerade party. with all my friends and close ones.
I didn't get an invite.
Oh, no, I didn't know you that well enough then.
No, that's true.
If I'd known, I would have done. No, it was really good. I had all the people there that meant something to me. Yeah. It was Mass Grave.
And did you organise that yourself?
I did it all myself.
See,
that's I was saying I wish I had somebody to do it for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not fun, though, is it, organising your own party?
No.
You need somebody else to do it. What you should have done is a reciprocal deal. He's found another party organiser and said, look, I'll do your party if you do mine.
Yeah. No, but it was good fun.
But it was fun. I saw some of the pictures on Facebook and Instagram and what have you, and it did look fun.
Yeah, we had a bit of karaoke because I'd love a bit of singing. And also I had a photo pod there, which was fantastic, which the lovely Sarah Redpath from Leisure Kings.
Right.
They provide all different sort of equipment hire, and they provided that for
just
me.
Just tell the listeners that don't know what a photo booth is.
Photo booth or photo pod. The booths people, I think, often know is you sit in the photo booth and you can wear wacky hats and glasses.
I have like a dressing up box.
Yeah. Or a photo pod is very similar, but it's just the pod standing free. So then I made up a gazebo with the pictures of Venice in the background because it's all masquerade and all that type of thing. So it was just added a little bit of extra fun to the party as well, which was really good.
So far, I mean, you're fairly new into running your own business, so you may not have enough anecdotes for me yet. But have you been asked for anything bizarre so far? You know, like cook swans or...
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, you will.
But
you will.
I mean, just to point out, obviously, I said about the fruit that we did for Anwyn earlier.
Yeah.
I just, if people come to me and tell me exactly what they want, within reason, I will, you know...
She keeps looking at me. Yeah, as if I've got some kind of track record here. Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah.
Yeah, we know him. No, it's just, basically, it's about talking with the clients, finding out exactly what they want, and then making it happen for them. So rather than, you know, telling them what they need to do, I just produce what they exactly want, help them create something.
And do your clients normally know what they want? I mean, you know, for me, when I do things, sometimes I go, I just want it to be brilliant. And you go, yeah, but what do you want? I don't know, I just want it to be brilliant. And so I quite often work with people that are really imaginative and what have you. And I just go, do you know what? Surprise me, Amanda. Make it fabulous. And here's my budget. Yeah. Does that happen more, or do you normally get people that go, you know, actually what I want is, you know, a themed reenactment of the Battle of Waterloo and da 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 with loads of fruit and whatever?
It does vary. It does vary. But I'll be honest, mostly women know what they want. Men haven't got a clue. So not being funny. That is actually true. Women are a bit more creative with the ideas.
I was going to say, you know, we were just talking to Siobhan about a very similar kind of thing. And being the only male here, I am going to kind of defend our corner a little bit and say that men can be creative, but we tend to be creative in slightly different ways. A lot of design-led creativity, a lot of men just aren't particularly comfortable with it because we're a bit dull and boring. We don't find that the most interesting bit of something that we're doing. So quite often we can leave things. You know, I'm just thinking last year I had a lot of work done on my house. And I just got an interior designer in. Thank you, Beth. Beth Rossiter, who came in and did a fabulous job. She just went, no, you want that. And I went, oh, well, can I have leopard skin? She went, that'd be ridiculous. you know, and she came up with a plan in about 10 minutes flat. And everybody that walks into my house goes, oh, wow, how did you think of that? That's easy, really. you know, it just goes. It works. But, you know, there is that type of creativity that you guys have, isn't it, that where you just kind of know what works.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's all about the creative side of things. And even for an event that is law-based or financial-based, people may sometimes think if they're not interested in that, you know, oh, it's going to be boring. But no, it doesn't have to be.
Sure.
The most important thing is to make the event memorable, because then that way people are going to talk about it, they're going to come back to you, they're going to refer to you.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah. Make it memorable.
Oh, I can make it memorable, all right.
I'm sure you can. In fact, I've seen that you can.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you've seen that film. I thought I'd taken that down. No, absolutely. And in talking to you, I guess, you know, the feel I'm getting is that you do both sides of the coin. You do corporate stuff, but you do personal parties and stuff like that.
Yeah, my passion is really the parties. Because it's about making people happy, and I think that's what I've always, you know, when you finally have light bulb moments in your life and you realise what you want to do, and making people happy and just sort of helping them create something, helping them create the dream party.
Yeah.
But I also, now I'm finding, I'm really enjoying doing the business side of things as well, because it's taking the stress away from the business owners. And again, it's still creative and it's sort of making things run you know, have an the day organised and then make sure it runs smoothly.
Yep.
And all the attention to detail. It's all something that's sort of really important.
For you, running the event, it must be incredibly draining.
Oh, it's very tiring, yeah.
Because not only have you organised it all, but you've then got to make it run. And when you're talking parties, I mean, my youngest, when he had his 18th birthday party, I mean, what a waste of time that was. We spent a fortune on it and they all just got wrecked.
Yeah.
Within 10 minutes, they were all completely off their trolleys. They could have been anywhere. They could have been in a field in the middle of anywhere for, you know. But, you know, for the party organisers, trying to keep it all hanging together and, you know, clearing up the broken glass and other things. And, you know, it must be incredibly stressful to do one of those events.
It is stressful. And obviously we do, that's why we do it, to take away the stress from the people that are having the parties or things.
Sure.
But I think because if you enjoy it enough and you really love doing it, then...
You're just a party animal, aren't
you?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
I do like a good party.
Cool. And why not?
Why
not?
Any reason to party is a good reason to party.
So you do private parties, you do corporate events, you do networking events and launch parties and all that kind of stuff. Your favourite, though, is party parties.
Party parties.
And you've been in business 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic. We love new businesses in Kent and we love supporting new and start-up businesses. Going back to what Deb and Di were saying earlier, what was the motivation for you starting your own business?
You know, I think I've always had that bit of entrepreneurial, I can't speak now.
Entrepreneurial.
The thing is, there's so many words for it these days, entrepreneurial, mumpreneurial, solopreneurial. It's like... Anyway,
doing stuff.
But to do your own thing, all the jobs that I've had, and it's varied. I used to work with horses. I've worked in the jewellery trade. So I worked in the bars and managed them over in Greece. But I've always done the best I can. But I've always ended up arguing with the bosses because my way was always better.
Oh, she's stroppy. Make a note.
Amanda is stroppy. Not stroppy, bossy.
Bossy. Oh, bossy.
Which is really good for an event manager because you have to boss people around. That's another reason why I love doing it, to be honest.
You do that.
Yeah.
Now.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the reason I wanted to do my own thing is because I wanted to do something that I love, that I'm passionate about. I'm a single mum, so I wanted to provide for my daughter. And I wanted to work for myself. I can never go back to employment again.
No, absolutely. Funnily enough, I'm actually pushing out a blog on Kent Business Radio website at the moment, which is about the rise of self-employment. Mm-hmm. We've always had self-employed people. Of course we have. We have 5.6 million businesses in the UK now, and 5.4 million of them are basically self-employed people. It's the biggest phenomena ever. It's been coming for a long time, but, you know, and there are pros and cons to working for yourself. Oh, of course
definitely.
There are. Yeah. But all power to people like you that have a dream, pursue it and make it happen. So how can we find out more about Butterflies and Dreams?
Yeah, so I have a website, butterfliesanddreamsep.co.uk. I'm on Twitter, obviously, as you all know by now, at butterflies2019. And you can also find me on Facebook at Butterflies and Dreams Events.
Fantastic. Amanda, thank you so much. I look forward to your next event. I thoroughly enjoyed your last event. Good. The next one is this Friday?
This Friday.
It's this Friday. I'm really looking forward to it. And then we'll talk about what you're doing after that. And maybe I can get some invites to some of your parties as well.
Okay, I promise to invite you to the next one.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Good. Amanda, thank you so much for that.
Thanks.
Amanda Flanders, Butterflies and Dreams. Woo! Thank you. We've still got tweets coming in. We're fast approaching the end of the show. Lee Willis has been on. Great show today, Business Bunker, Vanilla Webb and Amanda. We have free info about our new walking football team. Yeah.
I thought he was going to say just a walking football then.
Lee started this for me. Yeah, basically. Lee's the chair of the Ancorians Football Club. And Ancorians are a community football club over there in the Medway Towns. And they are a KCFA accredited community football club. And they run teams for everything. Everything you could possibly imagine. Boys, girls, teens, adults, veterans, disabled teams. They run teams for everything. I used to play a bit of football, not at the same standard as Ryan, but I used to play a bit of football when I was younger as well. In fact, I still play football occasionally now, even at my great age. And I was blagged into playing in a football tournament last year. Mm-hmm. And my boys came to watch me play. And they said to me, the trouble with you, Dad, is you know how to play football. You just can't anymore. And actually, that's quite dangerous because, you know, you instinctively react how you did 20 or 30 years ago. And it don't work anymore. Your body just isn't there. Anyway, I happened to mention that I fancied doing playing football again, but in a more sedate manner. And Koreans have started a walking football team.
Cool.
Which is brilliant. And so Lee's saying, if you want to know more, visit their website and find out more about the walking football team. But if you want to get in my team, mate, you've got to be good. And the website is ancoriansfc.co.uk. Ancoriansfc.co.uk. Do check that out. We've also had a tweet from e-commerce workroom. E-commerce underscore Kent on the Twitter, and they say, hi Vanilla Web, can we have a shout out please? We are an e-commerce web development company based in Canterbury. You are indeed. So a big shout out to them, and that was, I think that was Jody that tweeted that. Jody's the social media apprentice at e-commerce workroom, I happen to know. So thank you for that. What else we've got? Oh, we've got 110 more. Oh, Jules is still rattling on. We'll ignore her though. Juliet Shan, loving listening to the Business Bunker Vanilla Web whilst working and finding out about Dom Education was really interesting. And thank you also to Well Styled and Butterflies 2019. So thank you for that, Juliet. Juliet happens to work in the recruitment business, I know, but she's also very active in a charity called Herbs Palsy. And do follow the Herbs Palsy group and give them some love and support because they are brilliant. Hands That Make UK. That's not easy to say.
Yeah, that's Hands That Make UK. So Duty, yeah.
Yeah.
No, so Duty. She, it's a online community that she's building for anybody that makes creative, locally produced products like crafts and that type of thing.
Oh, fabulous.
So Duty is, yeah, producing an online community for them.
Fantastic.
Which is really good.
Oh, but sounds good. Yeah.
Saying that she's enjoying the show, which is great.
Yeah, Hands That Make UK. Brilliant. Give them a follow on the Twitter. I love things like that. That's really cool. Do you know, it's that time in the show now.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show now where we concentrate.
Channel Radio News Update.
I just said that. Channel Radio News Update. It's that time in the show where we concentrate on the news from the Federation of Small Business. And I love this. You guys might like this as well. This could be a useful resource for you guys. There's a new tool that shows the deficit in skill by geographic area. So it's a website. You go in and it will tell you what is the most in-demand jobs in any particular geographic area. I had a quick look at it last night. I agree with it because I've got a lot of data, obviously, especially to the southeast of England. And they're pretty accurate in terms of what's in demand and what's not so in demand. And it could be a really useful resource. And it was put together by IPPR, an analytics firm, Burning Glass Technologies. And they developed a new tool to tackle the mismatches that exist in many parts of the country between the skills needed by employers and those available in the local workforce. It's the first freely available tool of its kind in the UK and is intended to be used by national and local decision makers, education and training providers, and employers to address critical issues. The tool is called Where the Work Is. And you can find out more by going to their website, which unbelievably is called wherethework.org. Wherethework.org. Do check that out because it's a fantastic resource. I had a quick look at it last night. Looks absolutely brilliant. Could be quite useful. Amanda.
Yeah, well, I have one which is about a new £5 polymer note. So obviously we're talking about the new pound coin coming out. So this is also now a new £5 note coming out. It's the Bank of England will be issuing a new polymer £5 note in September. The design and security features will be unveiled in June. So if your business handles cash, it's important that you and those working in your business understand how to recognise and authenticate the notes when they come into circulation. Excuse me. Training materials will be made available and will include a video on YouTube, a smartphone app and Flickr pages. So that's a new £5 note.
Absolutely. As it happens, I have in fact fondled one.
Have you?
I have indeed had a fondle. And very briefly, the reason I had a fondle is I'm actually a Kent panel member on the Bank of England. And about 2 years ago, they, as an experiment, brought along the first of these plastic notes for us to pass judgment on. Interesting. They've been used in Australia for quite a long time. There are pros and cons. They are incredibly hard to forge. They last a long time. Paper notes fall apart, especially if you leave them in your jeans pocket and put them in a washing machine. Plastic ones survive the washing machine quite easily. Okay. The drawback to them is, if you can imagine, it is a piece of plastic. And you can fold it and put it in a wallet. But one of the problems is, when you take them out, they kind of all skid all over the place because they're shiny. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So you have to be careful. You know, the first thing I did is I had a wadge of them. Because I'm
as
rich.
You
not. I had a wadge of them in the wallet. And I went like that. And, of course, they go all over the place. So it is quite easy to lose them. But by the same token, it's also incredibly difficult to destroy them and even harder to counterfeit them. And they last a long time, and it was costing the Royal Mint a fortune to keep disposing of rubbish banknotes and reprinting new ones. So that's the rationale behind it, and they've eventually decided to go with it.
Oh,
nice
good
one.
Idea.
Go for another one, Amanda.
Oh, another one. So here we've got the FSB backs MP's call for improved careers advice in school. So this sort of goes back to the girls with the Dom education, which is really good that now MP's realising how important it is. They join forces with education experts to co-sign a letter with Graham Stewart MP calling for a change to the statutory guidance for schools on careers advice. The letter asks Secretary of State Nicky Morgan MP to amend the statutory guidance so that all schools are required to work to obtain a quality award for careers education, information, advice and guidance that meets an improved standard determined by the Department of Education.
That's really good.
So if I can they do that properly, yeah. That'll be really
Absolutely.
Good.
It's taken a long time to get here, but we're eventually getting round to the point of what school was supposed to be about to a large extent. It's taken like 400 years to get here, but we're getting there eventually. Chaps.
Chaps.
Chaps. Chaps is going to stay open longer.
Wow.
Chaps is. From the 20th of June 2016, the Bank of England's real-time gross settlement system, RTGC, which processes CHAPS payments, will be staying open for an extra hour and 40 minutes. It will be closing at 6 p.m, that's 1800 hours, instead of 1620. For those of you that don't know CHAPS, and why should you know, CHAPS is the Clearinghouse Automated Payment System. It's how your business checks are settled.
Okay.
Basically, so the CHAPS automated processing system is how they make bank transfers between checks. Once upon a time, I happen to know about this, back in the day, what used to happen when you wrote a check, they would literally put in piles, and then young kids, mostly, would grab a pile of them, put them in a satchel, and walk round to the other banks who the checks were drawn on and go, that one's for you, and that one's for you, and that one's for you. Nowadays, of course, the paper doesn't actually go anywhere. It's settled electronically, and the CHAPS processors are the machines that do that. But until very recently, in fact now, CHAPS processing shut at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4:20, allegedly. It was actually 4 o'clock. If you try to process anything after 4 o'clock, they all went loopy. But they're going to stay open till 6, so that's good. And the reason for that is that it gives banks and building societies the opportunity to extend their CHAPS service to their customers, and the new scheme deadline for customer-to-customer payments will be 17:40, so 20 to 6, basically. So basically, you get it in the system, and then it gives the system 20 minutes to clear it once you've presented it. But bank-to-bank payments will be allowed up to 6 p.m. That's arcane. Most people don't need to know about it. Most people don't need to know about that, except it is actually quite important, because it will mean that quite often you will have money in your account today, which wouldn't have been there until tomorrow otherwise. So that is quite important, but it's a bit of arcane stuff. Amanda.
I've got one more, actually, and I'm really excited about this one. I've just read it. It's the FSB is to launch a Women in Enterprise Task Force.
Fantastic.
This sounds fantastic. A new report from the Federation of Small Businesses, Women in Enterprise, The Untapped Potential, explores the specific challenges faced by women-led businesses and makes recommendations for improving support, developing mentoring networks and increasing the diversity of business ambassadors. Now, one of the ambassadors for Kent for women is Deborah Turner of UImage Consultancy, and she says the report echoes the comments that we have received from women in business in Kent and Medway since creating the Champion for Women in Business role in 2015. We are keen to provide the necessary steps for women in enterprise to reach their full potential, and so wholly support the recommendation. It has been exciting that we in Medway in Kent have already been able to start to support female entrepreneurs through targeted events, particularly showcasing female role models, and we hope to continue to offer support and assistance with women in the enterprise. So that's really, really good. FSB are giving more support to women.
Absolutely. Deb Turner is the lead on FSB Kent and Medway on Women in Business. As you know, I'm a big supporter of female entrepreneurs in this great county of ours. And I happen to know that women are starting more businesses at the moment than men. You know, the greatest number of startup businesses are being driven by women right at this moment, which is fabulous, absolutely fantastic, and all power to them. And, you know, we need to keep on keeping on and to grow these things. And we have three female entrepreneurs and in the studio and a fourth on the phone today. So it just shows you what's happening. There's a new you'll like this, Deb. There's a new FSB report that warns of a self-employment savings time bomb. Boom. FSB released a new report this week about self-employment called Going It Alone, Moving On Up, supporting self-employment in the UK. Over 4.6 million of the UK's 5.4 million businesses are self-employed, and FSB is dedicated to supporting them. This report warns of a self-employment savings time bomb, as less than a third, only 31%, of self-employed people are saving into a private pension, with 15% suggesting they do not have retirement savings of any kind. The FSB is urging ministers to work towards a savings solution for the self-employed who are not currently being catered for by automatic enrolment. It just goes to show you, ladies, doesn't it? Even people running businesses don't know how to do the basics of financial and money management. And, you know, and we expect long-term unemployed people to do it, and school kids, and even business people can't. You know, only 31% of people can manage it, which is interesting.
Because they weren't taught it in school.
Exactly, because they didn't go on a Dom education group workshop or learn it in school. You're absolutely right. She's a marketing person, isn't she? She good. Have you got any more?
I have, actually.
Yeah.
I found a couple more. So the FSB, potential abuse of business rates appeal.
Right.
The FSB is taking a keen interest in the experience of members and other small firms that have contracted specialist companies to appeal business rates decisions. In some cases, we understand that the government's decision to defer revaluation from 2014 has meant that specialists have charged extra fees for later years, following on from historic decisions. Okay, my mouth stopped working there. We would like to hear from any small businesses affected, and we'll keep any submissions anonymous as required. Please email us at press@fsb.org.uk. So if you've had any problems with potential abuse of business rates,
cool,
please let FSB know.
Thank you very much. And that brings us to the end of our FSB News Roundup.
Channel Radio News Update.
Cool. We're fast approaching the end of the show. We're still getting tweets coming in. We've got emails. Oh, there was an email I meant to read that came in that I didn't print off. Where is that? Can't find it. No, can't find it. No, we'll have to do that next week. I just want to tell you now, as we approach the end of the show, what we've got coming up later here on channelradio.co.uk. Following the Business Bunker Show at 4 o'clock, we have the fabulous Kent Creative Live, presented by the absolutely lovely Natalie Benaig, talking about all things creativity in Kent. She covers all kinds of topics and some fabulous stuff she's been doing just recently. Last week she looked at busking, would you believe?
Busking. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So do stay tuned for that. That's at 4 o'clock. That's the Kent Creative Live Show, presented by Natalie Benaig. And then at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery. Ooh. With his stripy socks, with 2 hours of entertainment, information and music on the Craig Avery Show, where he interviews entertainers, people from the world of show business, plays you a bit of chilled out music and chats to loads of people. A fantastic show. That's Mr. Craig Avery at 5 until 7. That is followed by... At 7 p.m, Mr. Jamie Andrews with 18 tracks of unsigned, new and up-and-coming music on the New Potato Show.
Wow.
Tune in, dig it up, as he says. Fantastic, fantastic music. Do have a listen. 7 till 9 tonight. absolutely stunning music that you will not have heard anywhere else. Most of it downloadable for free. Do check it out. 18 tracks of absolutely stunning, gorgeous music on the New Potato Show. Following the New Potato Show, 7 till 9, at 9 p.m. we have our comedy show, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, focusing on 1967, a particularly funny year. Music, comedy and sketches. And then, of course, we round off the evening here on Channel Radio, as we always do, with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, we finish off the evening here on Channel Radio with Boy George, as we always do on a Tuesday night. Do have a check out of Club Culture from 9 o'clock onward. From 10 o'clock, 10 till 11 tonight. I've just had a very last minute, he's just scraped this in by the skin of his teeth, a tweet from Stopwatch Hospitality. They say there's 30% off for the Thundering Supercars this weekend at Brands Hatch, and it's the Blank Pain GT. So if you want to participate in that, I suggest the best thing to do is to follow them on the Twitter, and it's Stopwatch Suites. That's as in S-U-I-T-E-S. Stopwatch Suites. Paul Clark, who runs Stopwatch Hospitality, has got 30% off of the Thundering Supercars tickets for this weekend at Brands Hatch. So do check that out. But otherwise, we're kind of at the end of the show, boys and girls.
Already?
For another week. Yeah, it's gone really quickly. Yeah. I'd just like to say a massive, massive thank you to all of today's show's guests. We heard from the lovely Deb and Di.
Thank you very much.
Dom Education Group. Many, many thanks. We heard from the naked, or not quite so naked, or very well dressed in yellow, for communication, Siobhan. Now, I got a bit confused here. It's Siobhan Atkins or Siobhan Young, because she has two names, and I wasn't sure which was her current one, because I think, you know, one's a maiden name and one's a married name, I think. So do forgive me for that. But it was Siobhan, anyway, from Well Styled. Big thank you to that. A massive, massive, massive thank you to the absolutely gorgeous Amanda Flanders for not only being a brilliant guest talking about Butterflies and Dreams, her event management company, but for also stepping in and beautifully co-presenting the show like an old pro.
Yeah.
Wasn't she? Just like an old pro. And her presentation wasn't bad either. I just had to do that, didn't I? Amanda, thank you so much for doing
that.
It was absolutely brilliant. Thank you. And that's it. We're at the end of the show. We'll be back with you with another Business Bunker show next week. Have fun.
Bye.